Hello, neighbor. Welcome to the Spirit of Truth Internet Ministry, coming to you from the Morning Star Baptist Church in Pikelet, South Carolina. I'm Pastor Andrew Kerrigan, and I hope this message will be a blessing and a help to you. I'd like to hear from you if the message and the songs are a blessing. You can contact me at area code 864-474-2962. That's 864-474-2962. My cell is 864-415-1479. 864-415-1479. Or you can contact me at andrewkerrigan@bellsouth.net. andrewkerrigan@bellsouth.net. I'd like to hear from you, neighbor. If the songs and the message is a blessing to you, let us hear from you.
I know a man who
listening to the Morning Star Trio, I would like to say that the trio does have about four different CDs out, and if you would be interested in them, you can just go to our website. There's a link on there that you can link up to, and you can find out the information that you need there to get the CDs from the Morning Star Trio. They sure are a blessing to us here at the church, and I'm sure they'd be a blessing to you. It's always good to have a good CD in your CD player to listen to. And beloved, I don't know of any singing anywhere that's better than what they do. And so let me encourage you, if you could, to go to that to our website and get that information, and it'll tell you how you can acquire one of those CDs. Well, I've got the Morning Star Quartet. These are folks in our church that sing, and our choir leader and a couple of three ladies that sing, and they're going to be singing a song that is dear to my heart, and I trust it will be a blessing to you. You listen as the quartet from Morning Star Baptist Church sings
"Lost,
In the Cleft of the Rock."
Not hopeless, I am David, crying mercy, Lord, on me. I'm Elijah in a cave, dreading the light of day. I am Daniel, humbly bowed, faithfully. I am Paul in a prison, lifting praise.
Shelter.
thank you, Trio. My, what a song. He hideth me in the cleft of the rock. Well, neighbor, we're about to enter into our Wednesday night Bible study right into the auditorium with Pastor Andrew Kerrigan. And the topic today is salvation not by works. We find this in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, verses 8 and 9. And so as we enter into the service tonight, I trust that the service will be a blessing to you. As you pray for us, just hope that everything will just be to God's honor, His praise, and His glory. You listen now as we enter into our service on a Wednesday night. This evening, the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, we're going to read verse 8 and verse 9 this evening. Chapter number 2, the book of Ephesians. While you're turning there, I do want to emphasize and encourage you to be faithful in your daily Bible readings. If you're following our schedule that we have given out, we're now over in the book of Exodus, and we have gotten through those plagues. And God has, you know, there's some things there that, boy, just thrill me. And, you know, God revealed to Moses what he was going to do before Moses ever went to Pharaoh. God gave Moses the plan. Boy, before he ever went to Pharaoh. And what a blessing that is to know that God's given us the plan. There we have it in this book called the Bible. God has shared with us what He's going to do. He's sharing with us what He's done in the past. And God's sharing in this book what He'll do for us now. And in this book, God reveals unto us what's going to take place in the future. I can do a little prophesying right here tonight, and I can say that I know exactly what's going to happen to every one of us in the future. I don't know the details of what's going to happen, but if you're saved, you're going to make this journey through to heaven. I can know that with beyond any shadow of a doubt. If you're saved, you're going to make it to the end of your journey. You're going to arrive at that place called heaven one day. I can also tell you that I know what's going to happen to us once we get to heaven. When we all get there, we're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. Not to be judged for our sins, but for our works. And there at the judgment seat of Christ, God's going to bring out those books. Oh yes, God has books on each of us. I read in the Bible where our life is an open epistle read of all men. But God has a record of our life, recorded in heaven, in books. And God's going to bring out the books. And all these times we thought we pulled the wool over God's eyes, we're going to find out we didn't do it at all. And there we will either, we'll either gain or we'll suffer loss as far as rewards are concerned. Now, you know, I want to... there's some things I want when I get to heaven that God made it possible that I could have. And one of the things I want to hear Him say, "Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's going to mean more to me than almost anything else that I'll hear in heaven. And there's some crowns that we can win while we're here. And I want some crowns. I know we make light of this sometimes, and well, we'll put them in our trophy case. No. No, I don't want rewards that I can lay them up on a shelf in heaven or put them in some kind of trophy case. I want some rewards that I can take and lay at the feet of my Savior and say to Jesus, here, I want to lay these at your feet as evidence of the fact that I loved you because you first loved me. Boy, he's done so much for us, church. We wouldn't be here tonight were it not for his goodness, his kindness, his love, and his mercy. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that we can know about tomorrow. But right now is when we're interested in the now. And I'm glad that I can tell you some things that God will do for us now. And in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, verses 8 through 10, we'll read these words in his word. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I'll tell you, every one of us that are saved in this building tonight, if we really, really understood what he has just said to us, it ought to set the joy bells ringing in our soul. Listen to what he said there again. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Hallelujah. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not by works, lest any man should boast. And we've already studied verse number 8 in detail about the grace of God, but to set the stage for this study tonight, I want us to look again at this amazing verse just for a moment. You know, these verses are to me sort of like the song Amazing Grace. It would not bother me if we sung that song every time we come to church. I'm never wearied at singing that song Amazing Grace. It has never become old to me. It has never become stale to me. There's never been a time that I've ever heard it that I wasn't blessed and rejoiced in hearing that song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Praise God, that ought to be enough to make every one of us want to have a running spell for Jesus tonight. That ought to be enough if we understood. If that has happened to us, praise God, we ought to rejoice in that. I once was lost, and now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's grace that's brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. Praise God, when we've been there 10,000 years, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I'm telling you tonight, ye by grace ye are saved. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight, by grace we're saved, through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. God has been good to us, every one of us. All the way through the first part of the book of Ephesians, we're reminded that God's plan is not a series of accidents. Praise God, I'm glad tonight that God doesn't operate on accidents. God doesn't operate on luck, amen? I'll tell you, it's not luck tonight that I'm here in the house of God. It's not because I'm lucky that I'm saved by God's grace. It's not because I'm lucky, beloved. It's not because of some accident that God has had that we're here tonight. But it's just simply by the amazing grace of God. Hallelujah. Bless His holy name. God doesn't operate by accidents or lucking out in time. God is perfect. Therefore, His plan is perfect.
You know, that's one of the joys that I have in coming to this pulpit time after time, whether it's Sunday morning, whether it's Sunday night or on a Wednesday night, or whether it's in a revival meeting or in a Sunday school class or just talking to people. I'm glad that I know that this plan that I'm talking about tonight is God's plan. And God's plan is a perfect plan. Hallelujah. It's always been perfect. It's perfect now and forever in all eternity. God's plan is perfect. There is not a flaw in God's plan. You cannot find one flaw in His plan nowhere concerning anything. You just can't find a flaw in it at all. I'm glad that God's plan is a perfect plan. And here's the kicker tonight for me. Praise God, I'm in that plan. And if you're saved tonight, you're in that plan. Hallelujah. Oh, Dr. McGee would say, praise God, I'm in the bus. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm in the bus tonight. I'm on my way because of this marvelous grace of God. Bless His name. Only a perfect God could have designed a perfect plan. Aren't you glad tonight, church? Let me tell you something. Praise God, I'm about to get baptistic here in a minute. Aren't you glad tonight that our God, I'm telling you, our God is a perfect God. Now, you couldn't say that about Islam. You couldn't go to India and say that about their God. You couldn't go to Japan and say that about Buddha. My dear friend, listen, you couldn't say that about any other God. But I'm glad tonight I can say it about our God. Our God is a perfect God. And I'm talking about if you're saved by God's grace. Now, if you're not saved, I ain't talking about your God, but I'm talking about the God of those that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Our God is a perfect God tonight. I'm telling you, we don't have to bat an eye. We don't have to blush. Praise God, we don't have to hang our head. But I'm glad, praise God, we put our thumbs in our suspenders, throw our head back and say, praise God, I'm proud tonight to be able to announce that our God is a perfect God. You can't find anything wrong with God. You can't find any flaw in Him at all. None. Our God is a perfect God. Only a perfect God could have a perfect plan. And so because God's perfect, His plan is perfect. Praise God, I'm glad I'm in that plan. I know something about that plan. That plan's what we're talking about tonight. The plan of a perfect God. Only God can take believers with an old sin nature who were losers. You know, I look in the face of every one of you and there was a time when you were a loser. There were a time when you were a loser. You're looking in my face tonight. There were a time when I was a loser. But I'm glad that only God can take a bunch of losers and make winners out of us. I preached to you last Wednesday night about how, praise God, we're all winners in the kingdom of God. We're winners. I'm glad that I'm on the winning side. Well, I love that song. I'm on the winning side. There was a time before I was saved by the grace of God, those first 24 years of my life, I was on a losing side. But praise God, that day I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That day the Holy Ghost came into my heart. That day that I believed and was saved by God's grace, I stepped out of that darkness into the light. And praise God, I've been on the winning side ever since. Amen. Oh, there's been times when the devil's tried to convince me that I'm still a loser. But listen, the more I read this Bible, the more I walk with God, the more the Holy Ghost reveals Himself to me, the more I want to say to the devil, you're a liar, and you're a liar from the beginning. And praise God, yes, I was a loser one time, but now I'm a winner. But listen, Mr. Devil, you were a winner one time, but now you're a loser, and you'll always be a loser. The devil will always be a loser. You see, the devil one time was a winner too. He was on the winning side. He decided he'd rebel against God, sinned against God. He decided he wanted God's place, and so God just kicked him out of heaven. Somebody said, where he kicked him out of heaven? Where'd he land? I think he landed in Packlet. I see a lot of evidence of that around here, Brother Don. Don moved up. He moved up out of Spartanburg. Well, out of Spartanburg out there, we'd get out of Satan's territory down here. Oh, listen, he's real, isn't he? But I'm glad that God can take believers with an old sin nature who were losers and make winners out of us. When he talks about that word by grace, Boy, what a powerful statement, by grace. That's the instrumental case. And grace is the instrument as well as the principle on which God's plan of redemption rests. Here is the foundation of everything that God does. I'm telling you again that God's plan is a grace plan. From the very beginning in the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, God's plan is a grace plan. And we need to understand that. God does the work and man receives salvation without doing anything. Without doing anything. God did all the work. Now, here, listen, church. You talk about if there's anything in this world ought to motivate us to serve God and be true to God, here it is, that God did everything for us. I mean, you know, He paid the penalty for our sin. That's what happened. Here we were, a bunch of losers. Here we were, a bunch of lost people. Here we were on our way to hell. Here we were in this world, the Bible says, without hope. We were in this world without help. There was no possible way that we could ever have redeemed ourselves. No way we could ever brought ourselves up out of that horrible pit. No way. No way, my friend, we could ever have gotten rid of the spots and the stain of sin from us. No way we could ever have done that. But I'm glad that God, our Father in heaven, my friend, the one that created us, He designed a plan whereby He would come one day into this world through the womb of a virgin. And my dear friend, here in this world, He would walk through this world. Oh, my friend, He would clothe Himself in human flesh. And one day He would go to that hill called Calvary. One day He would allow Himself to be nailed to an old rugged cross. One day He would allow Himself to be hung between heaven and earth, between sinful man and a holy God. And my friend, there on that cross, reach up and take the hand of a holy father, and down take the hand of a guilty sinner, and there on that cross bring them together. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior we have tonight. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, my dear friend, a God that took us out of that pit of sin, out of that horrible pit that our sins had dug. Oh, I know there's some of us were more vile and wicked than others, but every one of us had the sentence of death upon us. Every one of us had already been declared guilty. Every one of us were already perishing. My dear friend, we were all on our way to that place called hell. And had God not intervened in our life, had someone not brought the gospel to us, my dear friend, had we not believed in heard the gospel and believed and turned to Christ, many of us would be in hell tonight. But I'm glad that God, in His great mercy and His great grace, came to where we were. Brought the gospel to us. Boy, that's why we have a missions program here at Morningstar Baptist Church. Listen to me, church. Praise God, every one of us ought to want to see to it that if we've been saved by the grace of God, that every other man, woman, boy, and girl in the world ought to have the same privilege that we've had of hearing the gospel at least once, that they might come to a knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and be saved. Oh, beloved, listen, how blessed we are tonight that God brought us out of that darkness and put us into the light. Amen. I'm telling you, it's God that have done that for us. It was not ourselves, but it was God. He did that for us. Bless His holy name. Oh, beloved, listen, God does the work. And you and I have received the benefits of that work that He did on the cross of Calvary. You know, everything that God did in the person of Christ, He did for you and I, that we might have this wonderful privilege of knowing Him and being saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, my dear friend, we ought not have to be motivated by hot dog sales and bake sales and car washes and stuff like that. We ought to be motivated because the Son of God gave His life on that cross of Calvary. The Holy Ghost of God came and took up His abode in us. My friend gave us a hope when we had no hope and helped us when we had no help. My friend put our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. My friend gave us an assurance that when we leave this world, we're going to that place called heaven. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger passing through this world. I do know where I came from, and I do know where I'm at tonight, and praise God, I know where I'm going. I don't know when I'm going to get there, but I know when I get there, it's going to all be all right. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm telling you, God's good, ain't he? By grace are you saved. By grace, I say that again, God doing all the work and you and I enjoying the benefits. Aren't you glad, praise God, that we didn't have to pay for our sin? What would we have paid with? How could we ever have paid? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We would have died 10 million deaths and never have paid for one sin. It was not possible for us to pay for our sin. And so when you hear that statement, God is love, just believe it. Just believe it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved us. He loved us when we could not, when we did not have the capacity to love him. He loved us when we were yet in our sin. He loved us. The Bible says in the book of Romans, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Boy, the story would have been different if there would have been something we could have done. Jesus would never have had to come. But there was nothing we could do. We were condemned. We were perishing. We were on our way to an everlasting hell. And God stepped in with the gospel. Hallelujah. Some preacher came by with the gospel. You picked up a gospel track. Somebody shared the good news of the gospel with you. That's how I got in the gospel track. Praise God. Don't ever underestimate the power of God to work in the written page. I'll tell you, take those gospel tracts, yes. You may pass out 10,000 of them. And my dear friend, every one but one may be thrown in the trash can. But there may be that one that Andrew Kerrigan will open up and read and turn to Christ and be saved by the marvelous grace of God. I'm telling you, my dear friend, if never another person in this world would ever save because of a gospel tract, you're looking at one man, and I'm telling you, it was worth it all for me to be saved by God's grace. God thought it's worth enough for him to come all the way from glory and die on the cross for you and I. Praise God. That's why we're involved in missions here at Morning Star Baptist Church. It's because we've got a story to tell. God did it 100%. He did it all. You know, man is a total winner because of grace. But before grace touched us, we were total losers. Now listen, after salvation, occupation with Christ is the one thing that will keep us stabilized, and it's the only adequate stabilizer there is. Occupation with Christ. Here's what reading our Bible does for us. You know, when we read this Bible, you know, you're not going to understand everything you read. Fact is, you're not going to understand most of what you read. But I'm telling you, here is what the Holy Ghost uses to reveal Christ unto us. And I'll tell you, the more you know about Christ, the more stable you become in your life. The more stable you become in your life. You neglect this word, and you can be like the wind tossed to and fro. That's why there's so many people out here that profess to be Christians that know nothing. They're unstable. They made a profession one day. They don't go to church. They don't read their Bible. They don't pray. Oh, they'll tell you they're saved by the grace of God, and that maybe they are. But I'm telling you, my dear friend, here's the stabilizing force in my life, and it'll be the stabilizing force in your life. If you neglect the Word of God, you'll be an unstable Christian. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be tossed about to and fro every wind of doctrine. You know, it amazes me sometimes. I run into people and say, oh, preacher, did you listen to that preacher on the radio the other day? And they start telling me what they preached, and he came across with some strange doctrine, and they're all excited about some strange doctrine. I'm telling you, get this word in you, and you'll know what the truth is. You won't be a falling for that strange doctrines all the time. You won't be getting tangled up in all this mess out here in this religious world. And I'm telling you, the world is full of religion. And that's not what we're interested in at all, church. We're not interested in being religious, are we? Any of you in here interested in being religious? If you are, after what I've taught you, I don't know if you get any hope for you or not. Again, religion is what man purports to do for God. And it's all rejected. And we're going to look at that doctrine of human good, which in the sight of God is as filthy rags. Human good we're talking about. Let's look at verse number 9 just for a moment. Our time's about gone. I'm going to give you this, and then we'll have to close. Not of works. Now remember, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. These works refers to human good. Human good. That is the opposite of grace. It's on the other side of grace. God's perfect plan can be soiled and it can be sabotaged. God blesses us in spite of our old human works. I told you that every one of us that are saved, we still have that old Adamic nature. How many of you are saved tonight? Lift your hand. All right, put your hand down. Now, there's two of you there, sitting there. That new man and that old man. This body has not yet been redeemed. Our spirit's been redeemed, our soul's been redeemed, but I'll tell you, there is still that old Adamic nature that every one of us possess, yet that old Adamic nature. Now, I've said to you before, over earlier in verses 1, 2, and 3, that old Adamic nature has an area of strength and has an area of weakness. In the area of strength, that old Adamic nature in us has the ability to produce human good. Human good. Human good. Isaiah had something to say about that. Are you ready for it? Isaiah said, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. He's talking about the production of human good. Now, if we produce human good, how much of that good is God going to accept? Zero. God can never accept human good. There's the doctrine in the Bible of human good. Hebrews 6 and 1, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Dead works. Dead works are works that are performed in the energy of the flesh that we call human good. Religion. This world is full of religion. I don't ever want to be characterized as a religious person. because anybody that knows what religion means understands what that is. That's a person that works in the energy of the flesh to do something that God is supposed to accept. What is there that we can do in the energy of the flesh that God ever will accept? I just gave you Isaiah, where Isaiah said, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. It is absolutely filth. It's nothing. Boy, you've gotten quiet about that, didn't you? You say, well, preacher, what in the world about us is God going to accept? He's going to accept what He produces in us. That's what He'll accept. You know what He's going to produce in us? According to this Word. That's why we get the Word of God hid in our heart, that we may not sin against God. And when the Holy Ghost of God begins to move in our heart, listen to what He does. He produces divine good. The old Adamic man produces human good. Which is God going to accept, divine good or human good? God's going to accept divine good and rejects all, or divine good rejects all human good. And so therefore, our interest ought to be in obeying the Holy Spirit of God, living according to this Word, that God may work in through us to accomplish His divine purpose. Hallelujah. I'm glad it's not us. Whew, boy, that takes a load off of me. That God does not expect me to produce human good as far as God is concerned. God expects me to walk uprightly, Brother Wayne, according to His Word, obeying the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit, that we won't fulfill the desires of the flesh, that God may operate through us. Let me tell you something. That Word is what the Holy Ghost uses to accomplish God's work in this world. Amen? That Word. What's going to happen to all of this human good that we're purporting to do for God? Remember, I said we're going to come to the judgment seat of Christ one day after a while. And we come to the judgment seat of Christ. You know what God, you know what we're going to be rewarded for? Is that divine good that God was able to do through us. And all of that human good is going to be burned up as wood, hay, and stubble. Don't be found guilty of building your spiritual life from the devil's lumberyard. For over 50 years now, He's been a-working on me. And He's still a-working on me. And He's still working to accomplish His purpose in our lives. Aren't you glad that we're saved by grace? By grace are you saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. Not of works. Not of works. None. Lest any man should boast. Church, the only thing I've got to boast in is Christ. That none of us has any right to look down our nose at anybody and say, I'm better than you are. Nobody. Paul said, greatest preacher as far as I'm concerned ever been, except Jesus Christ Himself. But Paul said, I am what I am, listen, by the grace of God. By God's grace. Let's stand.